Hello, everyone.
Hi, guys.
Happy, it's a snowy day here. Some of you may be listening in warmer parts of the country, but happy snow day to us.
Yeah, I think it's appropriate that we're doing cool runnings because it is a cool day. Very chilly. Corbin's got his big old monstrous furry hat on. Keep his noggin warm.
It's people make fun of me for it, but I'm fabulously warm inside.
At this point, it's just survival mode. Okay. Survival mode.
So last week, I pulled a quick one on you.
Everybody, me, you guys,
you're
the
like,
whole world.
Well, let's see what we do. And I'm like, cool runnings. It's happening. But I am excited because our mom watched this with you.
Mm-hmm.
So she must have been pretty excited about watching it.
She was. She was thrilled at your pick, as usual. Corbin can do no wrong. In the sight of our mother.
Thank you. So yeah. I'm excited to review this, though,
even
it's
though
been
the,
a while.
Yeah, the Olympics ended on Sunday, but we figured give it one more week. Let's keep living the dream for one more week, and then we'll let it go.
And I will take credit for the snow as well. We summoned the snow because we were watching these snowy flicks.
Which, I mean, if you want to take credit for that, that's great.
You're welcome, everyone.
Shun the snow.
We need the snow. So.
All right, let's dive into some story time for Cool Runnings. Corbin, what have you got?
Cool Runnings. This was 1993, if I'm not mistaken.
Sure. Okay. I didn't look at the year, but that sounds about right.
Okay, we've researched thoroughly in this movie. Okay, so it's Cool Runnings 1993. This is a very interesting time. I think one thing to take note of is John Candy dies the next year after this. There were a couple of films that they were released after he passed away after this film, but this was pretty much
the last one of his pieces that he saw.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yep. And you know, when you watch him and you see him, you're like, wow, he is, it's a different role. Cause I keep thinking of him in Home Alone and Planes, Trains and Automobiles. And he's a lot more serious in this and just disgusted by things.
Is he in Home Alone?
Yeah. He's in the back of the moving van.
Oh, that's
truck.
Right. I had just like blocked that part of because I remember just being like, I should be laughing at this, but it's not. I'm
no,
not following.
It's a little cringy.
I am remembering.
You remember
that.
His moments of talkativeness? It's
They're
like our worst nightmare.
Dancers or something.
Yes.
Okay.
Our worst nightmare. Someone that's a very chatty person.
I will admit, besides Home Alone, this is the only movie I've seen John Candy in. Ooh, I apologize, team. So I can't say, but. You have seen more
okay.
of him. So,
right. But again, the movie is taking place in 1988 Winter Olympics in Calgary. And I found it very interesting that the movie starts off, I think it says like November
mm-hmm, of 1983. Is that right? Anyways.
I thought it was 87.
Oh, maybe
it was 3 months. It was 3 months until it's. And I was like, wow, this is a quick turnaround. I mean, they're trading.
They're really putting this team together.
It's like when you're over Thanksgiving break, you're like, you know what I'm going to do?
I think I'm going to go to the Olympics.
The Olympics bobsled. That's it. 3 months, that should be enough time,
right?
That's
plenty of time.
And I think a lot of us take this approach where we're like trying to make big changes in our life, like dieting and overcoming
3 months.
Weakness. We're like, you know what?
Dive all in and then dive all out.
You know that Steve Jobs guy? He had things figured out. I'm going to be smart like him in a couple months. And then we hate ourselves because we can't achieve that. So some additional story time with the box office. This was, again, 93. So we had Jurassic Park was number one this year.
Oh, wow, yeah.
The Fugitive number two, quality flick. The Firm, Sleepless in Seattle, Mrs. Doubtfire, round out the top five.
Holy 90s movies.
Aladdin at number eight. I think that was it. Just was released later in the year, and we have to get down to number 16. Cool Runnings.
I'll take that. It made top 20.
$60 million. Not bad. I think that's solid, and it's
for a Disney sports movie. Yeah.
Yeah, it's great.
They're never like the big boy.
Yes.
That's awesome. I like it. I'm actually surprised, honestly, because for some reason, part of me was thinking that this was like a made for TV movie. It's not. It was released in theaters, but
they tried.
Yeah.
The made-for-TV movies,
like
it's like, we ought to fill up a time slot.
Maybe
so let's
it was
just
like the
something.
80s, not the 80s, the like colorful credits at the first that like gave it this Disney Channel vibe. I don't know.
It does have a little bit of that, like Johnny Tsunami.
Yeah,
kind of
yeah. But that's okay.
I
it made
just,
some money. Good job.
I think that's just the early 90s vibe. A couple other things from a bobsled perspective, if you didn't have a chance to watch the Olympics, and I just talked to a neighbor of mine, and I was like, have you watched the Olympics? And I'm like, not really. And I was like, what? Like, what?
Why are you talking to me, sir?
All they're asking is 2 weeks of your the next two years of your life.
On your backside with your favorite
That's
snack.
That's all they want.
This just, isn't commitment.
Just watch for a few hours every night for 2 weeks. Not a big deal.
Not even for a few hours. Like, just... Give it up 40 minutes.
And I love the people who are like, well, I just don't have time. It's like,
you,
whatever.
I don't have time. I'm watching The Office for the 10th time.
No, they claim that they're working and just,
like, no.
And
you're like, sitting on the couch watching things like everyone else.
Can I just see your phone? I want to see your screen time, buckaroo. Okay. All right. You've got time. Anyways. But if you're not familiar with the bobsled, just a few facts from the Beijing Olympics. They talked about how bobsled and these types of events like luge and skeleton, they approach 90 miles per hour.
This is the we looked it up. This is the fastest Olympic sport.
Yes.
This is, if you want to go for speed, this is as fast as you could go, is what they're doing.
These bobsleds, they've made a lot of exceptions in terms of safety rules and regulations because there's no airbags, seat belts, no padding on the seats.
The padding is your neighbor's legs. And the seatbelts is the person's waist in front of you.
They're just counting on the fact if you do crash, you're jammed in there so tight, nothing's going
to
happen.
You got to make sure you're just, there's enough room to get in, but maybe getting out is a problem.
Oh,
that's the hope, is you got to get it tight enough.
Yeah, it's like sometimes when they get to the bottom at the end of the race, it almost seems like one of the guys is like popping out of the bobsled.
I noticed that this time too. Like, there's a guy, as soon as they hit the finish line, like, he's like popping out and sitting on the side of the sled, like he couldn't stand to be in there any longer.
I think it's because they need more room for the brake man. He
couldn't
do his job.
Like, he's like, get out of the way so I can stop.
That's
this
how jammed
thing.
In there. They got to remove somebody mid flight.
Maybe.
To stop this device.
Flight.
So a little scary, but he seemed to be enjoying it.
Yeah,
they always
like,
be clapping and waving to the crowd.
Hello.
So their TV time. Along with that, the National Sliding Center at Beijing, the course drops about 400 feet over the course of the track. And the steepest section is, and I did not pick up on this on the TV, 18% grade. That means you're dropping 18 feet for every 100 feet you're going out, which is really intense. I mean, to see a 10%.
This is why people hit you, like, you have Gs that you're feeling.
Yes,
as you're
3 or 4 Gs.
Whipping around.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So 18% grade, you'll never see that on a road. The most I've ever seen is 10% grade, and that's even pretty extreme. So, and 16 curves. And the one with the China one, it was like a curve that...
You did a whole loopy.
Yeah, it was like 360,
uh-huh.
I think. I don't know if that's how you refer to it. But so a lot going on here, and they use, and I thought this was very interesting. This is kind of a part of my nerd blurb, if that's okay. The way that they, what powers the sled is gravity. Okay, if anyone's
Thank
mistaken
you, doctor.
Here, if anyone's mistaken here, it's all about gravity.
They don't have rocket fuel on the back of this thing.
There's no engines. They're not pedaling inside
pedaling
the bobsled.
In the sled.
It's not Fred Flintstone. They're running on the ice. They're pushing and then just
gravity lets it go.
They're just at the whim of whatever happens after that. So there you go. There's my little bobsled nugget.
I'll add slightly to your nerd blurb. Just for funsies' sake, apparently Germany is quite the sliding country. I think they were saying there was like 30 medals they handed out in between skeleton, luge, monobob, two-man bobsled, and bobsled. I'm pretty sure Germany took home like 22 of those medals. Like gold, silver, bronze.
Yeah, I think
they were just crushing it.
It was like 10 available gold medals and
so
they got 9.
So that East German guy in this movie... The history is strong here. The Germans, quite the sliding team. And then...
I think... Here's my question. When you dominate a sport like this or industry or whatever, aren't you a little embarrassed?
No.
Doesn't that... I think that I would be a little embarrassed.
Is there embarrassment there?
I think so. If it's like we're just like crushing everybody, you're like, maybe
Please,
we should get a life.
Alabama fans are not embarrassed
they
about
should be.
College football.
It's like, what are we doing with our lives? Every year we just cheer with
My
our pom-poms.
My question is, I'm just curious of like what they do differently. What like why is their training so different that they're so good? But the other thing that's interesting.
Do you want to hear something I heard during the Olympics?
Okay.
Again, continuing this nerd blurb. they take a lot of their prospective drivers and bobsledders mm-hmm. to the Olympics with them, usually, or to big events.
Oh, interesting.
Which is unique, I guess, because most teams, they just send the team. But they invest in the experience and want people to be prepared.
Wow, they recruit, like you recruit for college football and stuff. That's intense. This one girl was talking about, she's a sprinter, and this is her first Olympics being on the U.S. bobsled team. This is only like her 7th or 8th run down the course ever. So this is fairly new to her, but she was there and competed. She said the first time she went in a bobsled, it's two-man bobsled, so she's in the back. She's not driving. She's the brake woman. She just tucked her head down, and she said it was terrifying. And the most terrifying thing for her wasn't the G's. It was the noise.
Oh.
Because it's so loud while you're going down. And she was just like, I can't see anything. I'm not in control. And I can just hear us like rumbling down the track.
I always picture everybody behind the driver, they have a bag that they're vomiting in.
Yeah.
Like that, you know?
They're handing them out.
It's not for aerodynamics. It's that they're sick to their stomachs. And they're just like the whole way down. So that's
oh, man. Okay. My story time contribution.
There's a little bit more on the movie.
That's on the movie,
oh,
guys.
Good. That's
so
good.
Now that you've all had your sports fill and you're sick of it.
I just need an excuse to talk about bobsled.
I'm going to tell you, this is a spoiler alert. If you haven't watched this movie or you don't want to know about things.
And if you haven't, we're not kidding. Like, enjoy the movie because it's good.
It will. It, yeah. It's a great ending.
So go with your
spoiler.
This
is my spoiler alert. When we did Miracle last year, we talked about how upsetting it was that people were like, oh, this is so cheesy. They made it so dramatic. And we were like, no, this is real.
It's real.
This is a real story. Guys, this is the opposite of that. 90% of this movie is not true. These are not based
90%,
off of...
Yes.
These are not based off of... These aren't like real people. Sanka, Brenner... Coach Irv, these are all made up names, made up characters. The conflict they're experiencing is made up. The concept of them getting Jamaica a bobsled team for the Calgary Games is real. But even the ending is dramatic. But like 90% of the ending is real. And then there's like a portion of it that's not.
And they used actual footage.
They used actual footage from the actual ending. If you don't know what that is. But just know that this is not one of those sports movies where it's like, oh, wow, I wonder if Yul Brynner was a real person. No. Yul Brynner was not a real person. In fact, if I was
although we all know Yul Brynner.
Yeah, I love that they called him Yul. I'm like, oh my gosh. If I was reading correctly, I think that the first Jamaican bobsled team, they actually couldn't even get any track people to want to be involved. And so they ended up getting some like really strong like freight workers who were like doing.
Oh, I read it was more military.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah, it was military.
And
guys.
So it wasn't even a volunteer thing. It was like, you're doing this. They're like, okay.
Yeah.
They were following orders.
But the guy who drove the Jamaican bobsled team.
Derice.
Derice is based off of, he actually kept driving bobsled. He went to like 4 Olympics in a row. So they actually like got a good run going there for a minute on their real Jamaican bobsled team.
I came across a story where I don't know why they didn't weave this in if it's true. But one of the guys that ended up being in the bobsled wasn't on the team like 2 days before. He was a brother of one of the guys.
Ooh, they should have put that in.
Someone got hurt, and so he just kind of filled in.
They're like, will you just push it and jump in, please?
I have a problem. There's no such thing as 3-man bobsled. So some random 4th guy. I don't know if that's true or not, but that was a story I came across.
So anyways, that was one of the big stories. Well, not big stories, but it was a fun story during the Olympics. This was in this Olympics that just happened. Jamaica had another bobsled team, and they've had like a drive. They had this like really awesome push where they first got in the Olympics, and they had a run for several Olympics. And then they've had a drought for a lot of years and haven't had a bobsled team that could qualify. So this year it was fun because everybody was really excited to see the Jamaican bobsled team back out there, which is funny because it's like this movie, I think, is a lot of that reason. And people remember them from the Calgary Games. Like, this is still a thing where people get really excited about the Jamaican bobsled team. So,
yeah.
All right, guys, we'll stop yapping about bobsled and get into the movie. Are you ready, Corbin?
Well, that's what the movie's about. So here we go. Let's do it.
Let's do some character report cards. Who in your Cool Runnings class got an outstanding?
Can I change things up just a tiny bit?
Okay, we're not doing character report cards. Corbin's calling it audible.
No, we're doing characters. But I of the 4 people in the bobsled, mm-hmm. which I think are the most important people,
yep.
How would you rank them?
Okay, so
I'm throwing this at you willy-nilly.
I only have 1 satisfactory of the 4 guys in the bobsled.
I bet it's Derice.
You think it's Dereese?
I think it's Dereese. Do you like Dereese?
Okay.
I think he's
the
weakest one.
Is that who you think I picked?
Yeah, yeah.
My one guy who's in Satisfactory.
Are you changing right now?
No, I'm not. Is actually Junior.
You didn't like Junior.
I struggled with Junior a little bit, but I will say I, for the first time in my life, actually connected with and really enjoyed Brenner and Junior's story arc and relationship.
I like the name Yule, not Brenner.
They don't call him Yule in the movie. They call him.
He does. Junior calls him Yule
at the very end when they're friends. Yeah. Yes. But I struggle with Junior. Yeah.
What's wrong with it? Like, is it because he's rich or
no,
is it his personality?
It's his personality.
He's like a little puppy.
Yeah.
That gets pushed around.
Yeah. Yeah. And it takes him a long time to make even like baby steps. So he's a little hard for me. It's just his personality. But the other three guys I really like.
He has one of the more emotional moments, though, in the movie when he tells Yul Brynner to go after his dream.
He does. He does have a very sweet speech.
And I don't think anybody in the movie ever made Sanka shut up except for Junior in that moment. He didn't really have anything to say.
That's a good point. That's a good point. As a team, they're very well balanced. They all balance each other out.
So I agree with you. Junior is a little bit hard at times, especially initially when he's like... shaking Dereese's hand.
And of course he's the one.
Everybody.
Yeah, and then he trips everybody and you're like, oh, we're
he
all
he should
gonna...
have been out there, okay? He was struggling. He was
I think
flapping his arms.
The entire audience was Brenner in that moment when he sees him and he starts chasing him over the chairs to beat his lights out when he's like, you.
I didn't get closure with the ending of that race. I think that Yul would have stood up and just beat the
snot out of him. I know. To see how that all played out afterward.
I need closure on that part.
Okay, so it sounds like you, of the four, don't like Dereese.
Dereese was the hardest one for me.
Okay.
I did not connect with him. I just felt like he was just very stale. I mean, and it was annoying, the Swiss thing, the Swiss infatuation.
Yeah.
It was getting on my nerves, and I was just like, I'm so glad Sokka stood up to him, and everyone else was like, you're an idiot. But I've seen this before, and I was just like, oh my gosh, Dereese, like, this is embarrassing. Like,
you're embarrassing me right now.
The Swiss team is in their sled, and they're like, it feels a little more crowded in here. They look back, and there's a fifth guy, and it's Dereese trying to go in their sled with them. He was just so into their method, which makes sense because they're really good, but at the same time, it's just like, this is weird. This is getting really weird.
I didn't mind. There were... I'm trying to think of there. That kind of a little bit did get on my nerves, but I really liked.
A little bit.
I really liked the conversation that he has
with
Coach
wife?
Irv.
Oh, okay.
Where it's
Which
the
one?
The night before they get their second chance, the runs, and he's like looking at the turns.
Oh yeah.
And they have that conversation about you won gold medals. Why did you cheat? And he was like, if you're not enough without the gold medals, you won't be enough with them. And then he says, how will I know if I'm enough? And he's like, you'll cross the finish line and you'll know. And for those of you who have seen the movie, oh, with that setting it up, that ending is so good. So I just really liked that you had these quiet moments with Dereese where like you saw he was a fanboy, but you also saw he like was dealing with the conflict and the weight of representing his country, and this is his dream, but like now it's here, and what if it doesn't go how I want it to? What's going to happen?
Well, and he also has no idea what he's doing.
Yeah.
He's totally clueless.
He is responsible for four people's lives in that sled, and this is all very new to him. And he's having to make it work.
So as you're saying this, there are other moments that I really like about Dereese when he talks to his wife and he's terrified about the race.
Oh, yeah, that's a sweet moment.
The moment when he basically goes to...
She's like, Dereese.
I always respect any person who can hear about an idea and just run after it and just go for it.
Yeah.
Like when he's talking to the, the Olympic Committee, Jamaican.
Yeah, and tries to get him to rerun the race, and then he finds out there may be another way.
And he's like, okay, I'll do it. What's a bobsled?
What's a bobsled?
You know, and so I always respect that. So the more we talk about these characters, I think Dereese is still, him and Junior are kind of vying for like... F.
They're kind of wrestling. Not
they're
F.
On the curve,
Junior's not an
right?
F.
No, but like they're vying for like the lower grade.
Yeah.
I don't know why we like Yul Brynner so much.
I don't either. I think
maybe it's just
it's when he beats his head before he starts running and he's like growling. And everyone's
Sanka's like whoo.
And Sanka calling him Big Baldy. <He's> like, I'm just worried about that
head.
Big Baldy right there.
So it looks like a butt.
There's
a naivety of Yul Brynner where you almost, he's like a bulldog, but when he has this idea of Buckingham Palace, that really is heartbreaking because his dream I don't know. Why do we like him? Like, the more I think about it, I'm like, why do I like this guy? I really like him.
I think you get a sense of like what his background is, right? Because you get the sense that he's not as smart as everybody else, and he's never been considered as smart or as good as everybody else his whole life. But he insists on doing things and live and having a dream and going after them regardless. And that can mean he has a chip on his shoulder a lot of the time, but you're also like, there is a broken little boy in there that is like, he just wants to be better than people think he can be. And so when you see him like have a family and start to get along with Junior and like kind of teach him how he's brushed off all the negativity around in his life, he's like, look, this is how you deal with it. This is how I've dealt with it. I don't know. I just really like him. He's muscly, hard person, but he's so soft and gooey on the inside. He's very sweet. There's a big heart in there.
Yeah, I like Yul Brynner.
And we both agree, Sanka. Oh man, he's just a good time.
He's just funny.
And not only is he funny, but he has one of the emotional speeches of the movie, which is at the end where he's like, "I only know how to be Jamaican."
Yeah.
And that is how I'm going to be a bobsledder. Yeah. Is I'm going to be a Jamaican bobsledder. Oh, so good. We love Sanka. Always, as children and now.
And it goes back to this discussion we've had throughout this podcast of certain characters. How do they mess with some characters, with the funny and the heartfelt? And with these characters, they did such a good job.
There was a really nice balance.
There was. It was fun. It was tense. It was emotional. It was real.
Mm-hmm.
It was, some people, I saw a lot of reviews, it was corny. But that's real. Like, that's life. Like,
life is corny.
It is.
Welcome to the fun.
Yeah. So anyways, they did a great job as far as the characters.
Yes. Agreed. So the only one of the main people we haven't talked yet about is Irv. John Candy himself.
Oh, Irv.
What do you think about Irv?
Do you empathize with Irv? I feel so bad for him. I mean, when he just smashes the crud out of
that
radio.
Oh, that is the best. Uh-huh. As he's like beating the crap out of it. And they're both just standing there like, oh my gosh.
Those are the moments.
That man won gold medals.
Those are the moments in cinema where you wonder if the directors and the cinematographers and everyone that was behind the camera was just like, oh my gosh.
They have
this
like
is
one
real.
Of those police shields. Everyone's like hiding behind. So like the pieces of wood are like plunking off.
And he just went for it. I love that. And then just the fact he's just so over this idea of go get your dreams and make yourself happy.
He's just like
you know what? It's just about surviving until you die kind of mentality. His sarcasm during the video when he's showing all the Jamaicans what it's like to be a bobsledder. He's like, ooh, yikes.
He's like, your bones don't break in bobsleds. No, they shatter.
They shatter. So I loved Irv. I thought he did a great job. I was reading some stuff that they were considering having Kurt Russell do the part.
No, Kurt Russell is Herb, what's his face, Miracle. That was the right coach for him.
Yeah, that came later. But I just think John Candy did a great job.
He
would have
been too young in the 90s, I feel like.
I don't know. I just feel like Kurt Russell, he seems like the same person, right?
I was reading like cast lists as well. Like they wanted to have like Denzel Washington and Eddie Murphy play Sanka. Like they had this huge cast list. And John Candy was like their dream Irv. So he was like the one they wanted. But they couldn't get the other guys to do it because of money, I think. But I'm like, I don't want those guys in a bobsled together. There are some actors that like it would be distracting. We talked about this with Miracle. It was so refreshing to have an entire hockey team full of guys who weren't actors. I'd never seen their faces before on screen, and they were just doing their thing for the most part.
Yeah. So what did you think of Irv?
I put Irv in outstanding, but it's not that I didn't like him. I just remember more of him being funny. I remember the radio scene. Beyond that, he has a lot of... there's not a whole lot of funny Irv.
He's just I do love when they get the 59-36 qualifying and he's like,
oh yeah, he's like
hollering
and they're like, the judges are looking at him like, will you get out of our booth?
Go, no. And the judge is like, oh my gosh.
I was expecting more humor for him. Maybe I wasn't remembering this movie correctly.
But it almost seems like every single character has a really cool spotlight moment when he is talking to the Alliance. Is this about me? If you want to punish the if you want to punish us, punish me, not them. It's a really, there's some good stuff in there where each character has like this moment of,
oh my gosh, the bureaucratic aspect of this is so alliance. Dumb. They're so probably fake. My big needs improvement. Like, oh, the whole thing is so stupid. They're so petty. They're like, oh, well, we changed the requirements. And like every 20 minutes, they're like, oh, we've changed what the time needs to be.
Yeah, the time was 105. Now it's 102. And now it's one flat.
Yeah, it's just like, oh my gosh, these guys are so childish.
I was reading articles like, this does not exist. There's no alliance. That's all
the rebel alliance. It's like of this bobsledding
teenage boys like
holding grudges.
You've cheated. Just change it. Change
this
policy.
Is not real.
That one guy was such a little weasel.
He was. He's like, I don't know what you're talking about.
He
Kurt.
Said, I didn't know that four black guys in a bobsled would
could
make
you blush.
And he just totally like, he just shriveled.
He's like,
now that's enough. You know, it's just like, oh, brother. So, there were some good lines in there, and that alliance was a piece of work.
Yeah.
So, yes, definitely it needs improvement.
Especially considering this is quote unquote based on a true story. I mean, they had to come up with some conflict, right? So, they were like, okay, if we're really going to just take it in a different direction in terms of where these characters come from and what's the story here, well, we have to have bad guys and conflict. So, them and then that East German guy who just had such a punchable face.
Gruel.
Gruel. You just Gruel. Wanted to beat his face in.
Oh my gosh.
He does. You look at him and his name is Gruel. Anytime he opens his mouth, you're just like, I can't handle this.
I just, the enduring image for him is just having the cigarette literally hanging out of his
mouth.
As
he's sharpening the bobsled.
These are the most athletic men in the world. Taking a long drag on their cigarettes.
Oh my gosh.
Oh,
yeah, so in terms of needs improvement, I mean, they had to find conflict somewhere, but I think there may have been other avenues and storytelling methods to explore. The Alliance and the East Germans, it was just like,
well,
oh boy.
And the fact that nobody was accepting of the Jamaicans, from what I understand, that was not true.
That
at
is
all.
The opposite of true, yeah. Everybody was very excited.
They were very
them.
Supportive and
they
helpful.
Borrowed somebody's sled, like a legit sled. It wasn't a crappy sled. Like somebody was
a
like, yeah, you can use our sled.
So there was a lot of support there. So this is when we start to get into the Disney-fied
yeah.
part of the movie.
Yes.
Yes. To create the conflict.
The Olympic spirit in real life was existed in this story and everybody was very excited to have them there. But in the Disney version, it was like...
I could just see the writers as they're researching this, the real story. They're like, okay, so everyone loves them. They show up. They do their thing. They crash. Where's the conflict? And everyone's like, what are you talking about?
What if they hate them?
Everyone hates them.
Fixed. Fixed, fixed.
East Germans. Soviets. Look at all these characters.
The Alliance.
You know, and so I think... But it's still entertaining and fun.
Okay. Are we ready to move into rate the reviews, or do you have more characters you want to talk about?
The last character that I wanted to bring up, but I don't even know how... what's his name? It's Irv's old buddy.
Oh.
Larry?
Larry, no.
Coolidge?
The little short guy.
Roger. It's
Roger.
Roger.
Oh, Roger.
I just want to give a shout out to Roger. Great character.
What a blessed soul.
You know, he's stuck in between. He's like, I've got my buddies over here that don't want me talking to my old cheating
really,
buddy.
It's so high school.
But I like just his personality. Like he's shorter. He kind of has like that like hyper vibe to him, like running around places trying to help and getting them a sled. So I appreciated him. I liked Roger.
Good job, Roger. Thanks for being here. Making dreams come true.
Yes. Thank you, Roger.
Okay. Let's move into rate the reviews. I had some pretty mixed things I stumbled across. I don't know what you found. My reviews as usual are from Rotten Tomatoes. My first one is 5 out of 5 stars. From Mike P. If you don't like this movie, you're an evil East German bobsledder.
Ooh.
There you go, kids. You don't like this movie, now you know who we are. Now you know
like
what side
movie.
Of the line you end up on.
I don't like this movie. Well, who am I?
Well, who am I?
Oh, I'm an East German.
I'm
there
an East
we go.
German.
Okay.
There we go.
It all makes sense.
Your team Gruel.
Although Gruel does start the clap, the slow clap.
He does. Which kind of annoyed at the end because I was like, I actually said this out loud. I was like, oh, great. So he's the hero of this movie? Is that what we've come to?
No, he's the mentor. He went from like the villain that wanted to kill them to the mentor. It's
within
like,
wow. 5 seconds.
Good for
he's
girl.
Just like, yes.
He's like looking around. Wow, I could really improve my image here. Clap, 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 clap.
Huh? Huh?
Come on, let's go, everybody.
Cheer!
Come on. Okay, well, thank you. I don't know who that was again.
Mike P.
Way to go, Mike P. All right, here's my first one. This is from Terry.
Terry. Come on, Terry.
Come on, Terry. Amazing Race. This is from 10 months ago. I went into the store today, and I was appalled that not one person was wearing a mask, not the cashier or any customers. I won't be coming back. I like to shop at stores like Walmart where people care about other people.
Wait a minute. Where did you get this review from?
This is from the Cool Runnings review board. Oh, my gosh. I think it's so funny.
What? I want to know what store they thought they were reviewing when they reviewed Cool Runnings.
I just think that they needed to say, this person needs a friend or a spouse or
they're
a
like,
somebody.
I'm going onto every review site for anything. I'm telling my
I
story.
Am appalled that people would not wear masks. So I got to tell everyone about it. All those Cool Runnings fans, they are the instigators of this.
Guys, we're not saying anything about masks, but I mean, just clearly this review is not in the right place.
Not in the right frame of mind to review this movie. 1 out of 5 stars. I forgot to clarify.
Oh
that.
My gosh. I love that they even like reviewed. They're like, this was definitely 1 star. By the way, nobody's wearing masks.
This is what I think happened. They went to the store. They were in such a bad mood about it, so upset about it that they're like, I'm going to watch Cool Runnings. I got to distract myself. They got all the way through the movie, and they were still upset about it, and that's why they gave it 1 out of 5 stars. Did
there you
not
go.
Distract.
It couldn't even like snap them out of it.
Sorry, Terry.
Well, I have kind of a funny review as well. This is from Brandon. Oh, no. This is not from Brandon. Sorry, Brandon. Okay. We'll get to you in a second.
This is a review from not Brandon.
This is from Stan.
Okay, Stan.
Stan. Half,
a great name.
Half
a Stan.
Star. Half a star.
Okay.
Out of five.
Or four. Yeah, okay.
Which is, I don't think you can do zero. This is basically a zero. Watched, had no robots, murders, or robotic murders. And that's why he gave it a half star, is because there was no murders, robots, or robotic murders.
I could see him when the bobsled wrecks and slams into the side of the wall, and he's like, oh my gosh.
That's where the half star came from.
Is death going to happen? And then they started, you know.
I'm just like, what? How many movies are there in the world that have robotic murders? This is a very, very, very specific genre.
We need to click on Stan, his name, and see what other movies he's reviewed.
I would.
That might give us some more insight.
Yes. Okay. Oh, sorry, Stan, that this movie was not what you wanted.
Poor Stan.
Maybe he picked it up thinking Cool Runnings was like talking about like running machinery or something, and then he was misled.
Where's the manufacturing? I demand more manufacturing in my movies.
Misleading. This whole thing's misleading. Okay, your next one.
Shay, from a year ago. I watched this on Friday night. It's a good movie. The end. That's it. Period.
I had a lot of those types of reviews where you're just everyone's like, good movie.
Why
it
they,
was fun.
I don't understand why they have to. I watched good this movie. On Friday night. Like they're texting someone. This is not a text. This is a review that people on the internet read.
Oh, my gosh. Maybe it gets context because it's like, oh, you watched this as a Friday night movie and you still really liked it.
Perhaps Shay is new to technology.
New
older
to technology.
And they think they're texting when in reality they're
texting
their
Rotten
thoughts.
Tomatoes.
Yes.
Okay. My next review is from James, 2 stars. All he says is a silly film about men entering a sport. I mean, yes.
Oh, boy. Here
That's
we go.
That's pretty. I so love when we simplify movies so much. I mean, that's, yeah, he's not wrong. Men entering a sport. That's what they did. They entered bobsledding.
Yeah, I don't know if that would that review would carry in a newspaper. You know,
a silly movie about men entering a sport.
Human conflict. Period. Emotional turmoil.
Emotional turmoil. Anyways, okay, your next one.
This is my last one. Part of the reason I picked this one is because of the name. This is from a year ago from Holly Wood.
oh, Corbin.
No, it's Hollywood. All right. I saw this movie when it came out to the theaters.
Ooh, that's cool.
I was 5 years old, and now 27 years later, it's still one of my favorite movies. Great for the entire family. While it is only loosely based on the true story, you'll love it. So there you go. There's the nostalgia.
Yeah.
For
see?
You.
Again, proof. You see a movie when you're 5 years old.
In theaters.
In theaters. I bet this movie was cool in theaters. I wonder what the ending was like seeing it in theaters. Was this one of the, like, did people emote at the end? Did they start slow clapping with the East German and and get all
I bet
teary?
I bet they waited. They wanted to see. They're like, okay, he's clapping. Is anyone else going to join him or is it just going to tail off in an awkward silence?
I bet you it was
silence.
One of those moments when the crash initially happens where
gasp.
Everyone's, it's very quiet.
Yes.
And you're just like, oh my gosh. All right. I have two more reviews, both quite short. We'll go back to Brandon now because Brandon does have a 5-star review.
So this one is from Brandon.
This one is from Brandon. Okay. He says, by far the best bobsledding movie of all time. Question, are there other bobsledding movies and am I missing?
Well, there's
something?
The one that Irv showed the Jamaicans. That's a bobsledding movie.
Like, this one is a hair above that one.
Where the sleds are crushing human beings
yes.
as they roll on top of them. Another bobsledding movie.
So, I mean, that's a great review, but also I just want to clarify if I'm missing bobsledding movies because I don't think it's a very
something.
Popular genre.
Brandon, could you please let us know what other bobsledding movies there are?
Because I would agree with you. Definitely the best. I mean, I don't know. I haven't seen any other bobsledding movies, so this would be number one.
Okay, I just did a quick search. There are a few. Top of the Hill.
Top of the Hill. Doesn't sound as good.
From 1980.
Nope. Don't want it. So this is the best. Brandon, you were correct.
There's a few others, but yeah.
There you go. Not a very popular subgenre of sporting movies. But thank you, Brandon. And then my last review is from Michael T. 4 stars. He said, I saw this in school like 3 times for no apparent reason, but I love it either way. Was that not all of our school experiences?
Oh, we need. Yeah, there's the random movie that just gets flipped on the last week of school. And you're like, why are we watching? Oh, it's just the last week of school. That's
guys, right. I was literally in a classroom today. And before the class started, a student came in with a friend and said, can she be in our class today? Her class is watching a movie. And it was just like, are they still doing that? Are we still just like watching movies during school? Because that's what we did. We watched Mulan. I don't know what everybody else's school movie was, but I remember watching Mulan.
I watched Mulan. I got caught singing to it. So yeah, that has some tender memories. That was in like 7th grade too, so I was mortified.
Oh my gosh. That and Jurassic Park. And we would watch The Twilight Zone, like the old black and white TV show.
Yeah.
But anyways, this person got to watch Cool Runnings 3 times in school. I think they win. All right. Are we done with reviews, Corbin?
Yes, we are done. That is it.
We are done. We have wrapped it up. All right. I have next that we're ready to talk about awards. Does that sound right to you?
Could I just add one little tidbit I forgot to add?
Please do. You usually do.
I'm so sorry. We're going to reverse that and scratch
that. Strike
that,
reverse it.
Yes. I was curious, with the Jamaican bobsled team in 1988,
mm-hmm.
were they really contending?
Okay.
Because in the movie, it's like their first run was
terrible.
Bad. But then the second day, it was like, oh my gosh, they had an incredible run. They're in 8th place. They're on the verge of getting a medal.
Yeah.
No. They were, I think there were 26 sleds in this 1988 bobsled competition. They were in like 3rd to last. They weren't very last mm-hmm. after the first run. They had a couple decent runs. Then their 3rd run was just terrible. It was like 6 seconds behind the other. So they were pretty much out of contention.
Well, that's because they had to walk the last half of the course.
No, there's 4 runs. So in the movie, there's only 3 runs. But in the competition, there's 4 runs. So the 3rd run, they did really poorly. And then the 4th one, they did not finish. So anyways, they were not contending. Again, just to make sure we're all on the same page here.
Disney magic.
But
guys.
In the movie, it's fun. It's fun to think that they're actually on the verge of taking down the East Germans.
Oh, what's going to happen?
Boy, could you talk about the world crumbling if the Jamaicans showed up and got a gold medal?
Hey, they said in the Olympics this year, they said they had a goal. Their goal is they wanted to get back into the Olympics, and then within 10 years, they want to have a medal. And I'm like, I'm all for that. Go Jamaican bobsled team. Do it! I'm going to have to take down the Germans again, but whatever. In terms of like adding to our, we should need a topic, like a name for this fact or fiction segment here. in the movie, they make out that the crappy sled is the reason that they crashed.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It was driver error.
It was. They in real life, they were just going too fast for the driver. And so anyways.
He's like, slow down, brake, brake. There's like snow coming up from behind the
But it's sled. Intense to think that like the footage that you see in the movie is them actually crashing. Because that is like, it looks bad. You must, the way you sit in a bobsled, it must be safer than we think. Because that crash looks horrendous. I mean, they skid down the ice on their heads.
Well, the only person I'm really worried about is the driver because his head's poking out.
Yeah.
Little spine compression there.
Yeah.
But, and then when they showed the movie, like, Dorice is like, half his body is out of the sled.
Well, they had
to
get him out enough so you could see his face and he could deliver the line of.
No. Like, when they're, like, sliding to a stop, like, his, like, neck is all bent.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Halfway out of the bobsled. And you're like, wow, this is, that's commitment right there.
Yeah. And so the way the movie ends, again, spoiler alert, I mean, we've been talking about them crashing. But fact or fiction, they do finish the race, but they pushed the sled. They did not carry it.
Yeah.
Now that I know that that's true, the carrying the end does seem a little excessive because I'm like, that's a really big heavy bobsled with blades on the bottom of it.
This is the one fact that really kind of put a damper on it.
It's like, why couldn't they have just pushed it like they did, really?
Or just walk across the line?
Yeah. The carrying it was like, it was a little much for me. Like, a little dramatic.
Cinematography was good, though. Like, when they show the people partying and they're walking toward the finish line.
Mm-hmm.
Also, the shots of going through the chute, the bobsled.
Yeah, and they had, like, GoPros on the front of the bobsled. I was curious as to, like...
I don't think those
were
GoPros.
They didn't have GoPros, but...
Those are probably pretty honking cameras on the front of that sled.
I was curious as to, like, how did they film it? Like, did they put... actual bobsledders.
There's a cameraman sitting on the nose of the bobsled. Please
don't
drive.
Don't go too fast.
Please drive, okay.
Because you see Dorice, it looks like him in the goggles and the helmet, shaking around in there.
Shook me like a dog.
Shook me like a dog. Yeah, so I would love, like, I should have looked up, like, making of stuff and see if there's...
Do you have a desire to go on a bobsled? After watching that, I was like, I think I want to try this once. Like, go slow.
I don't think there's a go super slow, Corbin. Remember, gravity doesn't care.
Well, you know, maybe I'll just get a parachute and hang that out the back.
Three sliding events, I would rather bobsled than anything else. I would maybe want to go more two-man, though, than just like being a driver, really simple.
The scariest one is not skeleton. It's the two-man luge where you're laying on top of somebody. Like that, there's going to be limbs all over the place.
I don't understand that. I don't understand. It almost feels like it was a joke.
It
like
is a joke.
Like someone was like, guys, let's just try it. And they're like, wait, this is actually a real thing.
How many people can we get on
let's
there?
Let's keep doing
wow,
it.
Wow, we went extra fast that time. Let's
I
make
feel
this
like
an event.
They have to have two-man skeleton now. So until that happens.
Oh, the person on the bottom, that's just brutal. Because there's no shocks. There's nothing absorbing except for your flesh body.
Flesh. Okay. So now that we've done our little fact or fiction, just know this. The guys who this movie is based off of, all of them really loved the movie because they felt like it captured the spirit of what happened. So regardless of all the fact or fiction stuff that we've given you regarding Cool Runnings, know that the guys who actually lived it were like, yeah, you got the spirit of it. And they were excited to see it. So I think that's probably the most important opinion.
Oh, okay.
Right?
Very well.
If they're happy with it, then it's like, okay, there you go.
Yeah.
All right, Corbin, let's go into awards. Let's wrap it up. What have you got?
I've got my first award goes to the Subtly Funny Moment Award. Okay, very subtle. Sanka is constantly offering his lucky egg for people to kiss before they go on pushcart derby or whatever. Yul Brynner finally decides, he's like, I want to kiss your lucky egg. He kisses it, and then Sanka promptly wipes it off when he turns away from him.
I didn't notice
yeah,
that.
Yeah, he's just like wiping it off like,
he's
oh,
like,
my gosh.
Oh, he finally took me up on it.
Yeah,
dang it. Geez. Contaminated.
Yeah, he wiped off the kiss.
Do you want to kiss my lucky egg? My first award is the Now It Makes Sense Award.
Everything makes
guys,
sense.
This was one of the recorded movies that we had when we were younger, and our mom insisted on skipping a large chunk of the movie in the middle.
Though not a large chunk, but a very specific.
The scene that happens in the bar.
Yes, I remember that.
In the bathroom.
Uh-huh.
I honestly had not seen it until I watched this time around.
Did she
like,
watch it with you?
Yeah.
And did you look at did you look at her and be like, okay,
she probably
now
didn't even
it.
Remember that
oh,
we had
okay.
always skipped it.
Yeah.
But I'm like, oh, that's how Brenner and Junior become friends. And that's why I am now understanding and appreciating their friendship, is because I missed the entire conversation in the bathroom, which I really liked and I thought was funny. And I was like, seriously, this is we skipped this. Why are we skipping this? I don't understand what is happening.
I think it was the repetitive nature and shouting the words. So I think that was the concern.
Anyway, so I am so glad that I've grown up enough to watch the whole extent of
the
this
brawl
movie.
Is great, though. When Sokka just
cannonballs
into the
So yeah, I would recommend watching all of this.
I recommend watching the entire movie.
It helps with context.
It does. Okay, my next award goes to the Irv Blitzer Feet Award. That goes to
with that scene?
It goes to my co-host, Camry, and our brother.
What?
Because he sleeps with his feet sticking out of the blankets because they are chronic hot feet sleepers.
A real thing.
So the Irv Blitzer Feet Award goes to you. Congratulations.
Oh, I feel so proud, guys. There's nothing like sleeping with your feet out of the covers, okay? For those of you that sleep with, like, your comforter or your sheets tucked into your bed, I don't know how you do it. It's claustrophobic and it's really hot. You just got to rip them off and...
If anyone wants to torture Camry, just require that she wear wool socks while sleeping. She will not get a week
of
sleep.
Right now in the winter, it's not as bad, but the summer, guys, oh, it's atrocious. That is super funny. I will say, that scene, I feel like the camera lingered a little long on his feet. Like, it just went on for a few seconds too long.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, the total, the
honestly, like, it was like, these are... Like, what are we doing?
I have to. This is a prompt to award. The critic award goes to Camry. The camera lingered a little long on the little
guys,
toes.
Guys, watch the movie. If you've seen this movie, you know what I'm talking about. Honestly, I was like watching it. And I was like, what did it get paused? Why are we still on his feet?
What are you like disgusted by his feet? I don't notice.
No, it was just random. It was a very random cinematography decision. To have it go on for so long.
Oh, my gosh.
Anyways, it's not
important.
Maybe
that was part of John Candy's contract.
Maybe.
Like, show my beautiful feet.
I only have one other award, actually. It's the Tearjerker Award. Guys, this is the first time I've watched this movie, and I did get teared up at the end. And
the first time? What's wrong with you?
I didn't have a soul until 2 years ago.
My goodness. I remember crying every time I watched this movie. Every time I needed a good cry. Let's watch Cool
Runnings. Because I never got to watch the whole thing and I didn't have any context.
I didn't watch the whole thing.
No, but the moment that really did it for me was Junior's dad at the end when he opens his co-op and he's got the shirt on.
The Jamaican
as they're carrying
team
it,
shirt.
That really hit me.
Gets me.
I was like, oh my gosh, this is so sweet. I love this. So
yeah, dad was a little brutal throughout, but that made up for a lot.
That did. He looked so proud at in that moment. And I was proud. It was beautiful.
Okay, I have two more awards. I've got the Brutal Coaching Award. Their second run when they do terribly, and Irv just lets them have it. He's like, you choked. It was yours for the taking, and you choked. And I'm like, they've been bobsledding for less than a week, okay? Like, they were training in a tin bucket.
They did choke.
I thought that was a little brutal, and I was starting to get a little, you know, thinking back about some of my coaches where they just get after you, and you're like, oh my gosh. Like,
Corbin did not do well with that kind
seriously,
of anything ever.
You kind of look around, and you're like, are we anybody making money here? No? Oh, okay. I think I'll go out there and give 50% effort and not care, okay, coach?
Yeah, all right. Don't put, Corbin doesn't do authority well, so don't do that.
All right, and then my last award goes to the Olympic moment.
Okay.
Now, the emotional moment is when they carry it and the clapping. It's, you know, that's great.
Yeah.
The Olympic moment, though, is when they actually walk in the opening ceremonies. They're holding their flag.
And they're the only ones.
There's like four in their coach. Yep. I always love that. In the Olympics, you have a country, teeny tiny country, one or two athletes, and they are so happy to just be walking in the opening
ceremonies. Guys, again, if you have not watched the Olympics recently, like, this is, the opening ceremonies is so cool because you get to have one, you get to like kind of highlight a country and their culture and how they see the world. But then you get to have all of these people walk in from all of these countries and all like spend time together and party together. And you're right. Like, the best is when you have these countries where they have one athlete and the people walking with them, there's usually like five or six people with them are their coaches and like the doctor. The team doctor.
And
it's
just
them.
A doctor.
Yeah. And they are carrying their flag in, and sometimes they'll wear like traditional dress, and like it's so cool. It's just cool. Get on board,
and they've
folks.
Worked their lives for their whole lives for this moment.
And they're
and it's
probably
not, about winning
not
or
getting
losing.
Paid.
They're just
in these little countries
representing their country. So yeah. Good for them.
Okay, I think we're ready to do some ranking.
Yeah, let's do
we're
it.
We're revisiting our live action list for the first time this season, Corbin. So what do you got?
Okay, I'm going to put this movie at number 7.
Holy smokes.
Just below Beauty and the Beast, above National Treasure. I love this film. I don't watch it that often, but every time it gets emotional for me. And it's funny. It's just a good ride. And it's an hour and a half long.
It's short. Yeah. Yeah. Where is Miracle on your list? I'm just curious as to how this stacks up with our other sports movie on there.
Miracle is number 11 for
me. Oh, wow. So this is Cool Runnings is much better than Miracle.
Well, Miracle is a little too serious. It's good. It's very emotional.
This is true.
It's not as entertaining, I would say.
Yeah, this is like a good balance in between like humor and there's a lot of stuff going on in this movie.
Yes.
Okay. Well, I didn't rank it as high as Corbin did.
That's okay. You don't have to feel bad about that.
I don't feel bad. I'm just being honest.
Oh, okay.
I put it at number 13, which is above Thor and below Swiss Family Robinson. This is at the very bottom of my good tier. My live action list is kind of split itself into like not so great and good. And this is the very bottom of the good. I enjoy it. I like it a lot. And it made me more emotional than I was anticipating. But I love Miracle a lot more. And it's got several movies above it that carry that nostalgic factor. Even though we watched this when I was younger, for whatever reason, the nostalgia didn't like attach itself. Maybe it's because I was skipping half the movie.
No, dude, yeah, that's so exaggerated. My goodness.
It wasn't half the
movie. I'm
going to
defend our mother and her honor.
Oh my gosh.
It was like a 2-minute blip that we skipped.
I don't know why. Like, I love this movie. I think it's funny. I just, the nostalgia is not completely there. There's other things I like more. But it was still really fun to revisit. And I actually like get the picture now. So I got you.
Oh, it's a sports movie.
Stop.
Okay.
You're so rude. Such a suck up.
Oh, boy. So, anyways, there you go, you guys. That's our review of Cool Runnings from 1993. Maybe they'll do a remake.
Oh, please don't.
They would probably ruin it, wouldn't they?
They would.
There were some reviews I saw. People were like, well, just remake it. And it's like,
ah, why would you remake it? I like the cast. Leon, Dougie Doug. Come on.
Yul Brynner.
Yul Brynner. That's not his real name. John Candy? No, I like the cast
a lot.
It was
good. It was good. So anyways, there's our review.
Remake it. Oh,
so enjoy. If you haven't ever checked it out or if you haven't watched it for a while, please watch it. It's quite fun, especially on these snowy days. Next week,
we will let you know on Instagram what the plan is. I'm sure we have something in store. Corbin's staring at me like I should know what the plan
is. Gabri is as flat on the floor as possible as she's saying this. She's been sitting up this whole time and just completely laid down. I don't
Guys,
know if the weight of Instagram is flattening her right now, but we are excited to have another episode for you next week.
Bye, guys. This has been another episode of The Neverland Files. Subscribe and review and join the conversation over on Instagram at The Neverland Files. Thanks for listening.